You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 184. And today, let's discover what it really takes to make excellent decisions in your business and in your life. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Profit Amplifier Melanie Benson. I'm really jazzed to share this episode with you today. I'm talking with a friend of mine who I've known for many, many years, and we share many overlapping circles and friendships and business connections. And so it was really fun to talk to him about his work in this way, because I am a huge fan of learning how to connect inside to the resources you need to make really good decisions. And ultimately, I don't think anyone can tell you how to make a good decision, but we can build up the muscle so that when decisions are in front of us, we know how to make them without stress and angst. So I'm gonna get a little personal with you for a minute. I often don't share a lot about my journey here on this podcast. I do in my coaching programs, but I really, this episode means a lot to me because I struggled with making decisions for so long, and I made a lot of not excellent decisions over the years, some of which were very costly and brought me a lot of pain because I felt like I made a decision that didn't really move me in the direction that I could have been going. And so I think in the human journey, there's oftentimes, especially as entrepreneurs, there can be moments of regret. And we've been having conversations with people who are basically applying for the Amplify Mastermind. And one of the things that I hear come up often is this sense of regret, having made a decision previously that felt like wasted money, maybe on a mentor or a coaching program, that they didn't really get the value or the results, or maybe even not even what they were promised. And it's such a common theme, and it really tugs at my heartstrings. I strive to help people really understand what a good decision would look like to them. And then the key is to get empowered to say yes and follow through with the action. And I think that's the second part of the decision. And we don't really get into that in today's episode, so I'm giving you a little bonus here, is that when you make an excellent decision, sometimes you decide something, but you don't know how to get to it. Well, you have to start by making the decision. And then you have to have the confidence and the resourcefulness to pursue that with action. And I think that's where a lot of people get a little sideways, is they're like, yes, I want this, but you don't know how to do it, and so you get stuck. And I want to give you a resource today that I think will be very valuable for you in doing that, is I put together a set of tips and insights about how to amplify the results in your business. And there are a couple in particular that I think are extremely helpful if you're struggling with the decision of where should I focus my offerings to get the best results, or how should I be focusing my time and energy, right? So in particular, I want you to sign up. It's totally free. It's my gift to you right now. They're very short, mini trainings, like 5 to 10 minutes long. And you get them by going to profitamplifiers.com. And when you sign up, you got to come into my Facebook group, and then I'll guide you through an email series with that little mini training and a profit amplifier step you can take. And the one I want you to really pay attention to, and this was one of the best decisions I ever made, was to really understand what your unique profit amplifier is, and then simplify your focus on it to multiply the results you're getting. Those two pieces together are pure gold. And I guarantee you, if you tend to get caught up in a lot of overwhelm, you got a lot of stress in your business, you have too many moving parts, and you're starting to wonder if you can keep up with it all, this is the exact step you need to take right now to get better traction, to make more sales, to really grow the revenue and the impact and reach you have. So profitamplifiers.com. I will hook up that link in the show notes just to make it easy. Go start this process. Give yourself the gift of 10 minutes a day to learn this principle and to get a new technique in place that will get you results, meaningful, powerful, exponential results. All right, now let me introduce my guest today. So many entrepreneurs and business leaders struggle with making excellent decisions. And that's why I've invited my guest, Robert McPhee, to come talk to us today about what it takes to make excellent decisions that keep you aligned with your great work in the world. Let me introduce my friend, Robert McPhee. He's a speaker, he's an author, a coach, and a consultant whose superpower is helping people understand how to deal effectively with change. He's the author of the Manifesting for Non-Gurus book and partner journal, and he's also the creator of the Excellent Decisions Leadership Program. Robert is the former director of training for Jack Canfield, the co-creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, and author of the book, The Success Principles. And he's a founding member of the Transformational Leadership Council and co-founder of the Southern California Association of Transformational Leaders, which is where I got to know Robert. And these are two groups of the world's leading authorities in personal and professional development. And we're going to get a glimpse into the extraordinary genius of Robert today in our conversation. So Robert, thanks for joining me today.
I am thrilled to be here. I'm a little bit scared about living up to the bar of extraordinary genius, but I'll do the best I can.
Well, you know, something tells me you're going to be leaping over that. We go way back. It's funny, you and I really started connecting when I became a member at Association of Transformational Leaders in Southern California, but you let me know we go back even further than that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny in this world of personal and professional development, people who are out there, you know, trying to make a difference in the world and help people accomplish what they really want to accomplish. It's pretty typical that our paths cross. And it wouldn't surprise me if you and I met even sooner than we even realize, given kind of the circles that we travel in. But I think the first time I specifically remember connecting with you was through Henry Evans' group down in San Diego, I think.
Yeah, I was speaking there. Yeah. I remember I came down for the day and I remembered you having a brief connection once you brought that up. But I'm like, you know, when you speak at a lot of events, and I know you know this, there's whirlwind of all the people you meet. And then when people say, hey, I met you at this, I'm like, oh, right. That's right. Flashback. So anyway, our paths have been intertwined for a while and it's been really so profoundly fun to get to know you better in all these ways and to share your gifts today. But I thought we would start, like, you have such an interesting background and you've got a lot of kind of like journeys that you've brought together. Talk to us a little bit about how your background working with Jack Canfield and the other things you've done brought you to this place where you're now doing this transformation work around change.
Well, I think there's actually two main pieces. The work that I was doing before I was working with Jack, which is completely, like, it couldn't in some ways be more unrelated, but it really transitioned me into the work that I was doing with Jack. When I first graduated from college, I was running a valet parking company. A friend of mine and I started a valet parking company in San Diego just as a summer job, and it turned into this huge entrepreneurial success, which was great because I got that experience of what it's like to run a small business and achieve success and accomplish really great things in that environment. And the way that it ended up transferring into the kind of the work that I do now is that at some point as our organization grew, we needed to create a culture. We needed to identify what was really important to us. We needed to get our managers and our employees on board with what was really important to us, and not just what we were doing, but who we were really being on some level. And so I ended up taking that on, mostly for the simple reason that nobody else wanted to do it. So I said, well, what the heck, I'll do it. And I just loved it. We brought in Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People as part of a management training program that we created on our own. And I just got hooked. I got completely just enlisted and enrolled in this whole personal professional development world and was like, you know, with things like the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, why didn't someone teach me this a long time ago? And I ended up going to Jack's week-long summer program that he's been doing for years and years. And, you know, I'm meeting all these people who are like, you know, the director of the Department of Education from the state of Nebraska, you know, this quantum physicist from wherever. And they're like, what do you do? Like, I run a parking company. But it was really a perfect fit. And it allowed me to just go deeper and deeper. I mean, Jack, you know, Jack. So, you know, having the opportunity to work with him from going to his event, I then started assisting and supporting his work because it had been so beneficial to me. And from that, I transitioned into a more active role with him and was actually the director of training for his organization for a period of time. And he was an amazing mentor and teacher. I mean, I tell people I have 3 kids and they're older now, they're 22, 24, and 26, but they grew up while I was working with Jack. And that's what I call my unfair advantage as a parent, that, you know, most parents don't get to hang out with a guy like Jack or in an environment like you and I hang out at a couple times a year with the Association for Transformational Leaders. And it just impacted, you know, I wasn't giving my kids pop quizzes and, you know, making them read the success principles, but they just get it. And so that whole transition from running this business into running kind of the culture and training side of that business and then transitioning out of the business, my partner actually bought me out into doing the work on my own full time was what, you know, ultimately landed me to now not working with Jack anymore, but working on my own doing this excellent decisions work.
Isn't it interesting how sometimes we have these paths, these journeys in career that seem so unrelated, but then when you start to put all the pieces together in the current view of your career path, you go, oh, of course that was necessary because I learned this, this, and this, or it took me to this one pivotal decision that then moved me and propelled me forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, when we look back, it's really easy to see all those connections. And I know for myself, and I see it with my clients as well, when we look forward, we want to see those same connections. I want to be able to say, oh, I'm going to do this, and that'll lead to that, and then I'll be able to do this. And it would be great if it worked that way, but the truth is it doesn't. And I think looking back is always a good reminder of that. If we look at the things that we've accomplished that are really important in our lives, we see a path that's very unpredictable and things came up that we couldn't have expected and people showed up to support us that we didn't know would they be there to support us. And it's all very kind of unpredictable. And I'm a total like type A, want to have it all planned out and everything before I get started type of person. So there's a real opportunity to kind of practice what I preach there. But it's so important to remember that it is unpredictable. And the way we'll find out what the step after this one is to take this one and then see what's next. And again, you know, I did not think when I started a parking company that summer that I would end up where I am now, but it all worked out perfectly.
Well, that's the thing about change, isn't it? We don't always know how to predict the changes, but if we develop tools to navigate change, and what better time in our world's trajectory to learn how to navigate change, right? Yeah. But you know, really like building up the muscle of how to navigate change and like recognizing there are tools like learning how to make excellent decisions in the midst of change, then you, like we were talking in the green room before we came on, then you can go through uncertainty and change and transformation time with a little more peace of mind rather than feeling that deep sense of fear. So how do you see excellent decisions and the work you're doing around making excellent decisions helping people navigate changes?
Well, the way I define excellent decisions is that they're decisions that are made based on vision and values and value, rather than stress and pressure. And as you said, as we're recording this, we're living in a period of time, what I think will ultimately be a historic period of time, where the stress and pressure that we're under is ramped up. It's, you know, the volume's been turned up. It's a really crazy time right now. And the degree to which people, and again, we talked about this before we hit the record button, but the degree to which people have spent the time to do the work to get clear about their vision and what they want to create in the world and how they want to show up in the world and their values, what's really important to them, and their value, like what value do they bring, not only in a work sense to the marketplace, which is really important, but also to their relationships and to just the way they show up in the world. The degree to which people have really given some thought to that, I'm seeing, is the degree to which they're really well equipped to handle the changes that we're faced with. Because this change comes in a couple of different ways. It can either be a change that we desire, like something, I want to double my income, or I want to lose weight, or I want to find the ideal relationship, whatever it is. We can have changes that we desire. But then there's also, and this is what we're dealing with right now in a lot of cases, there's change that's thrust upon us, you know, like organizations, you know, have to lay people off or they get acquired by other organizations. And this whole thing with the virus is a huge change that's happening. And the excellent decisions model, where we look at, again, what's driving the decisions that I'm making? Am I letting all of that external kind of craziness that's going on right now invite me into the fear and the scarcity and the panic and the worry that's constantly out there right now? Or am I able to stay clear about my vision and how I want to live my life and who I really am and what's important to me and my value, like what I can do to be part of the solution, rather than getting invited into, again, the panic and the fear and the worry. And my take on why decisions are so important is because there's the inner side of this whole conversation with our thinking and our beliefs and our habits and all that kind of the inner work, if you will. And then there's the outer expression. You know, at some point we get into action and we interact with the rest of the world and we create results and experiences in our life. And the decisions we make are the bridge between those two areas. So, you know, you and I, in the work that we do, we see some people who love the inner work, right? They want to go to India and they want to meditate and they want to, you know, do the deep dive into their purpose and all that kind of stuff, which is great. I think it's valuable. But at some point you have to come out and get into action and engage with the world. And again, the decisions are the bridge between those two. And then other people don't want to do the inner work. They just want to get into action, do the work, you know, hard work, lots of effort, you know, willpower. And those people aren't doing so well either in terms of the experience of life they're having. So again, the reason I focus on decisions is because it's that important bridge. And if we make decisions based on what's really important to us, the actions we take, the experiences we create, the results we create tend to be very, very different.
You're bringing something up that I think is really fascinating. And I think it's sometimes in our blind spot as human beings, because we tend to kind of create our way of doing things. And then we go into autopilot, right? Like that's just most of the time, that's just, we live the rest of our lives in that pattern. But you're talking about like what I would term the cost of like maybe being out of sync with one of those two sides of making decisions or both of those sides. How would someone start to recognize that maybe their inner or their outer way of being is not bringing them to excellent decisions?
Well, I think there's two answers that come up to that for me. One is in terms of the results that we're getting. So if we look at our lives and we see that the results we're getting are not ultimately what we want, that they're not in alignment with what's really important to us. And again, sometimes we do this work with people on their values and we dive deep into what's really important to them. And then they come back out and they take a look at their life right now and they go, uh-oh, you know, not so much in alignment with what's really important to me. So that would be one indicator. Like that would be one way to tell that you're not in that place of living your life in the way that you ultimately would want to be living it. The other thing that comes up is the concept of comfort zones. And I think anybody listening has heard the expression comfort zone. Someone has told them, you know, you need to get out of your comfort zone, or you need to expand your comfort zone, or you need to create a new comfort zone. And it all sounds really great, right? Like of course I do, you know? But people don't necessarily know what that means. And in the work that I do, I use a model. Again, it's about change and understanding change. But the model has a definition of what a comfort zone is built into it. And the definition I use is when the results that you're getting in your life don't match your self-image, don't match your beliefs about who you really are, then you become very uncomfortable. So we want to be in balance. Like when it's in balance, we're comfortable. Even if the results we're getting aren't what we want. And I think the simplest example is with health. We see people who are maybe 50 pounds overweight, but they've adopted a self-image of someone who's overweight and out of shape and doesn't like to exercise. That's how they see themselves. So this result called 50 pounds overweight, although it's not what they want, is actually comfortable for them. Like it matches their image of who they are. So if they start exercising and going to the gym and eating better, they start losing weight. But if they don't change their self-image, they actually get very uncomfortable. This really helps people understand why they do this yo-yo thing where they lose the weight and gain it back and lose the weight and gain it back. In a lot of cases, it's because they never really looked at their self-image. They haven't looked at the beliefs they've taken on about themselves. And so it's great. Like at first they go, oh, this is awesome. I can, you know, do my affirmations and create this new self-image and everything will be fine. But the truth is doing like visualization and affirmation work makes them just as uncomfortable as the results work, because when we change our self-image, but the new result hasn't shown up yet, that's just as uncomfortable as changing the result, but not changing the self-image. The path that we try to take people on, and again, it comes down to decisions, is to start with the self-image, get people to declare a new, like, I am healthy and fit kind of self-image, start thinking differently, getting ideas for how they might do that. I can join the gym. I can eat better. I can throw all that food out that's in my pantry, whatever. They can think differently and get ideas, but then they've got to make a decision. They've got to make a decision that they're going to do something different. They're going to eat differently. They're going to go to the gym, whatever it is. And eventually the decision they make leads to taking an action and creating a new result. When the new result matches their new self-image, they actually create a new comfort zone. So that's the model we use to help people get to a place where they not only get the results that they want, but those results can last and not become one of those yo-yo things that have become so stereotypical. Again, especially in areas like health and fitness with losing weight, getting healthy.
I think there's a very similar pattern in the entrepreneurial world, in particular around prosperity and money.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So I was thinking, I want to have you take us a little bit deeper into what you call these three pillars of excellent decision transformational process. Did I get that right? So I was doing some research because I wanted to really, you know, like dig into this because I love transformation work and I love, you know, learning my values 20 years ago was a pivotal game-changing moment. It was when I stopped struggling around money and I started making really good money because I realized that my values were sabotaging my behavior and my actions and my decisions. So right. I'm all in, Robert. I'm all in
right.
with you here.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, what you're describing as your values. It, you know, it's just a language distinction, but that's what I'm talking about when I say self-image. Mm-hmm. You know, you have changed, it sounds to me like what you've done to step into that area of wealth and abundance is to change your self-image, your beliefs about what's possible. And we do see it with wealth, just as I was talking about with health, where we see people who have a level of income that they're comfortable with and they stay there. If they make more money, it actually makes them uncomfortable. If they make less money, it makes them uncomfortable. So they adjust based on what makes them comfortable.
Well, are you willing to play this out a little bit and like,
oh, sure.
So let's play a game called, we have a listener. Let's pretend they're calling in for the live radio show. And Robert, I'm struggling with what you might call my identity, my belief system around money. Like my entire life, I've struggled with money. I've never been able to make more than $25,000 a year with my work, but I love what I do and I don't want to give it up. So Robert, how could we take somebody through these three pillars to start to move them away from what's locking them into bad decisions and moving them into making excellent decisions?
Yeah, it's such a perfect example. And, you know, it's funny, like we didn't talk about the fact we were going to do this, but the way you described it is such a perfect example of speaking the current self-image, like the language you use for that hypothetical caller about you know, they can't make any more than however much money. And, you know, they do what they love, but they have this belief about the fact that they can only make so much money, you know, doing what they love. And I know that's right in the wheelhouse of the work that you do with helping mm-hmm. people break through that kind of limitation. But the first pillar, the first kind of step of the process we take people through is called awareness. And we were already talking about that with the comfort zone piece and really understanding how change works. Like, what goes on when I decide that I want to make more money or I want to get healthy or whatever it is? Like, how does that process even work? We know we want to make change. It's the human condition. But at the same time, we experience resistance. It's so crazy. Like, people resist making money or losing weight. You know, like, why would that happen? So awareness of how change works and why we do experience resistance is really important if we want to succeed at this game called creating change, and not just creating change, but creating lasting change. And also, I would say also not having it be so difficult, because sometimes people look at change and they go, oh my God, this is so hard. It's so difficult. You know, change is such a struggle. And the truth is, it doesn't need to be. So the awareness piece is really important. And the other thing that we build into the awareness piece, and this comes largely out of the work that I did with Jack, where, you know, he wrote the book, The Success Principles. The number one principle in that book is about taking personal responsibility. And the awareness of the importance of taking personal responsibility and the willingness to take personal responsibility is critical. Because any other work that I'm going to do with someone, if they're not willing to take responsibility for their actions and for the results they're going to get and the experiences they're going to create, the truth is all the rest of it's going to be, you know, entertaining and interesting, but chances are it's not going to make a real difference unless someone is willing to take responsibility. So that first piece about awareness is about awareness of how change works and awareness of what it really means to take responsibility and a willingness to do that. That's the kind of a setup piece, if you will. The second pillar is what we call clarity. And you've heard me talk about this already with vision and values and value. Again, excellent decisions are decisions based on vision, a clarity of where we want to go and what kind of life we want to create for ourselves, which is very interesting at this current time. The work around vision is a little tricky right now because there's a lot of uncertainty out there as we look ahead. But vision is still really important. Values, what's really important to us, like right now, is so important. Like, I see people who really don't know what's important to them in their life, and they're just spinning right now. Like, this whole thing with the virus has them just so off center and so just like unproductive and lost in some ways. So clarity about our values and what's really important to us and how we want to be in the world is the second part. And then the third pillar is what we call letting go of attachments, which is getting out of our own way. Like, so often what's really preventing people from accomplishing the results and experiences they really want is their own current habits and beliefs and thoughts. Things like needing to know how, which we talked about a little bit earlier. Things like being concerned about what other people think. Things like our own beliefs about ourselves and what our limitations are. These are things that get in our way. And the third part of the process that we use with awareness and clarity, and then what we call letting go of attachments, is to look at what are these attachments that are currently present and getting in our way, and what can we do to move through those things, to set those things aside, to let go of those attachments, be able to get into action. This is where things happen with less struggle and stress and difficulty, because we stop getting in our own way. So those are the three pieces that you were asking about.
I love it. And, you know, the inspired action piece is something that really is near and dear to my heart, because so many people that I work with that listen to Amplifier Success and come into the community, there's this struggle with, you know, like, I have to do things I don't want to do to grow my business. And yet I notice when you really make a decision to be successful in your business or to change your identity or your belief structure around success, there's this little, it's almost like your cells like recalibrate or something.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden those things that felt so oppressive or daunting start to feel a little more inspiring and exciting. And I don't know if I've ever said this out loud to anybody, Robert, but that's actually what happened to me when I did the values work, and something similar to what you're talking about here 20 years ago, all of a sudden my cells recalibrated and I'm like, those things are exciting now. Like, I literally changed.
Yeah. Same work, same actions, same things that quote unquote need to be done don't feel like a have to, a need to. It feels like, and again, you use the words inspired action. Those are the words I use. It is, it feels inspired. And when people have a clear vision and when they're clear about their values and the actions are simply a way to lean into that, to fulfill that, to make that vision a reality, to live my life in alignment with my values, to deliver the value that I have to give to the marketplace and to my community and to my family, that's not work. That's not effort. It's not struggle. It's just, well, what else would I do? And the opposite is, you know, if we're doing things driven by stress and pressure because someone or something else, you know, advertising, social media, our friends, our family, our boss is telling us we have to do something. It's like, who wants to do that? You know, it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. It's another day, another dollar. You know, it's a completely different, again, it might be the same actions, but a completely different experience around those actions.
Mm. So true. I'm just fascinated by this work. And I know you have a resource to share with our community today. I believe it's a free resource that can really help people learn more about this process that we're talking about of making excellent decisions. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this video that explains how change works?
Sure. Yeah. And we touched on it a little bit. It was going to be a free resource, but then because of the coronavirus, I lost all my income. So now I'm totally kidding. It is. It's a free
now
video.
Now I need to charge you to make some money this week.
Exactly.
It's only a dollar, but still. No, it's
but
free.
But it's in alignment with my vision and my values.
There you go.
No. It is a free video. And it's going into more depth than we can really go into here about that dynamic that I was talking about how change works and comfort zones. And it takes what I was saying, and you know, we're only on audio, and I'm sitting here, you know, waving my hands in the air. And
you're making pictures in the air.
Yeah, and the truth is, in the video, it gives me the opportunity to demonstrate a model. It's uses some PowerPoint slides to take people step by step through that whole model of how, you know, if you want to change your comfort zone, if you want to create a new comfort zone, if you want to create a dynamic where you've got a new result, which is more of what you want, but you've also let go of a lot of that resistance and that discomfort that comes with making change, it'll take you step by step through that model. And it's at my website, which is excellentdecisions.com, and we have a separate page set up for it. It's excellentdecisions.com/joy, J-O-Y.
Nice. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I think sometimes the visual learners, you know, having the video side of our conversation and being able to dig deeper, it helps really land the process, where the audio, hopefully it's stimulated your intrigue and you're wanting to dig deeper with Robert on that. So Robert, is there anything else that you think is really helpful for us to know about this process and why it's so valuable, whether you're a business leader or an entrepreneur or a business owner or solo practice?
Oh, yes, there's so many. I'll share two that have really come up for me in this conversation. One is a question that I get a lot about the word purpose. People mm-hmm. say you talk so much about vision and values and value. What about purpose? Where does purpose fit into that? And the way that purpose fits into this for me is I believe if people have a really clear vision of what it is that they want, and it's in alignment with their values. So if they do the vision work to get clear about their vision, and then they also do the values work to really dive in and identify what their unique values are, and then look at whether their vision is in alignment with their values. If it is, I believe that person is on purpose, that would mean, like, literally that they're on purpose. And then the other thing that I would say that comes up a lot in the conversations I have around my work is about leadership. And I know you're working with a lot of leaders and working in that leadership space. And people will ask me, like, well, how does this apply to leadership? And I will tell people that no matter what your role is, no matter what your title is, no matter how old or young you are, if you are living your life from this place of making decisions and taking actions in alignment with your vision, your values, and your value, I say you're a leader. Even if no one's following you, you are a leader because you are not following those external stresses and pressures and what everyone else wants you to do. You're literally, you know, being led from inside. You are making choices based on what's most important to you, and that makes you a leader. Whether, again, whether you have, you know, a specific list of people who are, you know, on your team, at your job, or anything like that, you are a leader.
I agree. I totally agree. And it's interesting how many entrepreneurs and business owners don't always identify with that title of leader. And yet everything we do all day long is lead and inspire people, especially if we're doing work around our teaching other people our expertise or our body of work. We are inspiring people into action, and that's leadership.
Yeah. And so I have worked with organizations where the person who's sitting at the front desk answering the phone, greeting people when they walk in the door, is in many ways a more effective leader than the person who's the CEO or the owner or the founder or whatever. And again, it's not, true leadership to me does not get defined by your title or your role. It gets defined by how you show up in your role and what you do.
Mic drop. Well said. So, Robert, I always like to end my conversations with my extraordinary guests by asking them something a little more on the personal side about what do you believe was the boldest decision you've had to make in order to be where you are today?
The boldest decision?
Mm-hmm. That translated to an action, I should say.
Yeah,
well, I'm going with decisions, yeah, since that's our theme today.
No, and thank you for that reminder, because that really is one of the distinctions. You know, if and truthfully, once we make a decision, I mean, I guess if we don't get into action, then we really haven't made a decision. Like, you know,
well,
there's always an action, and people, I said, well, I decided to do that. Well, did you do it? Well, no, but I decided to. Like, what does that mean? Like, I decided to do it, but I haven't done it yet. No, it's like the action really is like the final part of the decision process. And I'll tell you that the one thing that comes to mind is making the decision to go out on my own. You know, I had a partner when I ran that Valley Parking Company, and we worked really well together, and it was a great experience to work with him, and his skills and his perspective complemented mine. And then I had the incredible opportunity to work with Jack for a long time and be a part of his organization and kind of tag along a little bit with his success as I was, you know, in my own learning stage around all this work. But the decision, in terms of truly a bold move, I would say the decision to go out and do this work on my own and to write my book and to create this Excellent Decisions program and create a brand that, I mean, ultimately Excellent Decisions is Robert McPhee. It's who I am. And that was not easy to do. It felt really risky. It felt really vulnerable. But there's been all sorts of opportunities that have come from doing that. That never would have happened had I needed to always have a partner or needed to be a part of someone else's organization. So I really remember when you use the word bold, that's right where I went, because I remember the angst around, you know, am I really ready for this and all that self-talk and all that kind of, again, practice what we preach opportunity. But that felt like a really bold move for me to make. But well, I was going to say I've never regretted it, but the truth is there's been a lot of times I've regretted it overall.
I love the authenticity there.
Yeah, I mean, there's been moments where, I mean, there's been plenty of what was I thinking kind of moments, but overall, I look at it and I'm just so grateful that I did make the decision. And again, that's a distinction I've never really zeroed in on, but take it all the way to action and do it.
Well, that's you living your brand. You know, like if you aren't living in that, I have to make, you know, I use the word bold, but I have to make a decision and then I have to take the action, then, you know, like you are the leader of this work. Of course you would have to like be the leader of this process, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the worst part of doing this work, right? Is, you know, we have to practice what we preach. And my kids, I told you, you know, my kids grew up around this work and they're the best at calling me on that kind of stuff.
But dad,
dad, you know, you always told us, you know, about taking personal responsibility. Maybe now would be a good time for you to actually do that yourself. Maybe I'm just saying, you know,
look at all those little mirrors of greatness that you plopped around you. Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. And I know sometimes it's not easy to share the more vulnerable parts of our journey. And yet I think it's what makes us the most connected and the most relatable to, you know, our community and to the world we serve, because we're all faced with decisions every day. And many people don't take those bold actions. But here's what I know about taking a bold action, and you're really demonstrating this, is when you're willing to make a bold decision that leads to bold action, you start getting bold results. Otherwise, people don't see you and you're invisible because you're not moving in a big way. So thanks for sharing a great example of that. Oh. I want to remind everybody listening in, you know, go get Robert's video, excellentdecisions.com/joy. And if you've been wrestling with a decision, or maybe you are feeling a little bored or restless in your work, you feel like there's something new pulling at you, you haven't been able to clarify it all, I really want to encourage you to follow this process with Robert. His work is extraordinary. It'll really be a guiding force for you to potentially make a bold decision and take some bold action. So, Robert, thanks so much for sharing your gifts with us today.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to connect with you.
And as you're listening in, be sure to join us in the Amplify Your Success community. We're going to keep having this conversation about excellent decisions, and we'll engage Robert in it over in the community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.